What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
First concert ever, JBJ, live at Jones Beach.
How about that?
And I'm not that big of... I don't know what it is. Don't get me wrong. Love music. Love it. Not the biggest, like, concert guy. I don't know what it is.
Just outdoor concerts or all concerts?
No, listen, if I'm ever somewhere, like, on vacation or something, they're like, live music somewhere outside, love it. I just never think to, like, ooh, let me go, he's playing at the Beacon or whatever. Like, I just never, other than Paul McCartney, I never get the urge to, like, go see someone. I don't know why. I don't. Like, and the same thing, like, my wife is always, I'm a big Eminem fan. And my wife, like, I forget when he came to town or something, she's like, oh, come on, let's go see Eminem. I'm like, I certainly don't want to go see a rapper. I don't know. He's just going to stand there and rap, and then he's got the hype man who sings half the song with him. Like, I don't know. Like, I've never had any appeal to go see a rapper live. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know how that Eminem crowd is. Like, how is that Eminem crowd even, like, acting? You know what I mean? Like, is that a responsive crowd, or is everybody sitting? Because I would think you would have to be standing up, but it's like Eminem at this point, fans of his, he came out 25 years ago.
No, I know. I mean, but they're my age.
That's what I mean. Like, you know, these are, you know, 40-year-old people plus.
Yeah. Now, it's getting weirder that rap, you know, older people in the venues? Yeah, I guess.
No, it's just, like, interesting to see how the crowd ages, right?
Yeah. No, I can see that.
Like, because rap concerts have always had a ton of, like, ton of energy, a ton of people bouncing around, just moving, kind of, you know, momentum. Right. Now it's entering that phase where people are, you know, 50 years old, 60 years old, that are rap fans and going to these concerts. I want to see how that looks.
He's a grandfather, amazingly enough.
Oof.
It's crazy how time flies. I was thinking about, we were talking movies with Keith in the morning show. Movies are by far the most, like, weird way to make you feel old. Like, when you're flipping through and it's like, Wedding Crashers, 2005.
That's unreal.
Wedding Crashers was 20 years ago? Like, I feel like it just came out. Or even dumb movies that I barely have seen or whatever. I'm like, that was 13 years ago? Like, bro, how does that, like, when you see the year next to the movies, it's always a, like, no way that was 10 years ago. No way.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I look at some of these movies now that came out when I was, like, a kid. So, around Wedding Crashers,
right.
Superbad,
right.
All that kind of time frame. And I'm looking at them and I'm going, damn, like, these movies are to kids right now. Like, my friends have kids that are, like, 10 years old that were around my age then. Like, these kids look at those movies the same way I would look at, like, the 80s movies came out. That,
no,
to
true.
Me, is mind-blowing.
Right. You ever see The Wonder Years?
Yeah,
the TV show,
with
The Wonder Years.
Kirk Cameron.
No.
The show?
Yeah. No, not with Kirk Cameron. No, that was Growing Pains.
Oh.
The Wonder Years was with
Fred Savage.
Savage. Right. And it took place in the 60s, but it was filmed in the 80s, I think, right? But it was a family in the 60s. And to think, like, I grew up, well, it might have been in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s. I can't remember. But I remember thinking, I remember seeing a thing saying, if a show was filmed today and that had the same time gap from when The Wonder Years was airing and for what the time period the show was, if a show came out today, the time period would be 2005. Like, it was a 20-year gap, The Wonder Years. So I was watching The Wonder Years, and it took place in the 60s, and it felt like that's forever ago, the 60s. If a show came out today and had the same age gap, it would be 2005.
Fred Savage would be playing me in that show.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
That really, yeah, it makes you feel old.
No, there's a bunch of ways to feel old. Movies and TV shows are it.
I'm like multiple, like, where am I at? I started high school in 09, so I'm like 16 years from starting high school now.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that the other day, and I was like, wow, sick. I'm like, wow, I'm old. I'm old.
I graduated in 01. So... I'm older. I'm sure. Ray in Waterbury, how old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
76 years old.
76 years old. When did you go to high school? What year did you graduate high school?
I graduated high school in 1966.
1966. Look at you.
66.
Nothing. Go ahead.
Became a mess hand in 1963, the second year of their
existence.
Yeah. So I've seen, So I didn't follow them the first year. I became a baseball fan late. I was 14 when I became a Mets fan, and I've been a diehard ever since. And the thing is, they need a spark. I mean, they keep throwing us Holmes. When are they going to learn? Holmes got to go back in the bullpen.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, what are they trying to?
Who are they going to bring up? Like, again, if you look at Sproat, his ERA is worse than Holmes is for the season. Like, I know he's hotter right now. Holmes hasn't been that. I don't know if I'm ready to just, you know, put Holmes back in the bullpen. You're going to put him into high leverage situations? Oh. What do you do with him?
Okay. I'm going to ask you, Chris. The thing about it is, what would you do to shake things up? Bring both kids up, the three of them with Tong? I mean, they can't hit. I mean, Soto can't get a hit with men on base.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do to shake this up? I'm tired of hearing Mendoza say we got good players.
I know.
I think they need an approach of somebody exploding, getting mad.
Yeah, I know. You know, we feel the same way about both teams. It's the same thing. I don't know what to do. I don't know if getting mad works. I don't know. And yeah, you're going to call up these kids. You're going to rely on them. We're going to see McClain on Saturday. It's not just like, hey, come up and, you know, start your career and let's have a good start and let's see. It's like, please come save us. Like, it's not an easy spot to bring these kids up. I don't know. Like, I guess you could put Clay Holmes back in the bullpen. I predicted this at the, you know, when I did the Rico Bronya with Evan on, like, a Yankee bet thing or Yankee trade scenarios. And I told him that I predicted that Clay Holmes would be back in the bullpen by the end of the year. And not that that was a crazy prediction considering innings limits and everything, but it's just he's pitched really well for the most part this year. I don't know if I'm ready to just say goodbye and bring up a young kid and assume that's going to be better. Like, I just don't know. But yeah, they need some kind of spark. I don't know what it is. Last year they had it. Last year Mendoza knew exactly how to get it out of them. This year, like last night's game, the last two games, to lose that series after that night, you get the David Wright game, right? You get David Wright getting his number retired. You lose that game, you go on a seven-game win streak. Seven-game. And now you've lost 13 out of 15. You have Pete Alonso break the record. Big night, big win, momentum-changing win. You feel like, you know, you're playing the dead Atlanta Braves. You got Cookie Carrasco on the mound the next day, and you expect to, at the bare minimum, take the series and to lose the next two games to blow a 6-0 lead. And then last night to get a good quality pitch game from Senga to have the offense respond and get the clutch hit and take the lead back, only to have Helsley blow it. And he's been brutally bad. I mean, he's been really bad. How many games has he blown? His fastball is getting hit like he's never had his fastball hit in his career. Last night, he really hung the slider in the middle of the plate. You know, Harris, who's been one of the hottest hitters in baseball after being almost unplayable for the first half of the year when he was just so awful. Now he's gotten hot. He hits that tailing fastball. He hits that fastball away and that tailing into left center field, gets past Mullins, and it's just like, man, they can't do anything right. Sam in Rockland. What's up, Sam?
Thanks for taking my call. I want to make a few points. First, about the Yankees game yesterday, I guess the day before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a saying, like, every team wins 54 games, loses 54 games.
They usually go 60. They usually just say 60. But
oh, whatever.
Yeah.
The point.
Yeah, you win 50, you lose 50. It's what you do in the other, you know, 70 or whatever.
Exactly. So to me, yesterday's loss was one of those 50 games you lose. I mean,
I agree.
They faced a good pitcher. Offense didn't hit. It's going to happen. I agree.
Yeah, but
with,
I don't disagree with you, but it's against the team that you have to beat. Yes, it was a good pitcher. It's also in the stretch right now where you're fighting for your life. You're fighting for your life. If they weren't terrible for the last 2 months, I agree with you that it's just one of those games you lost, but they can't afford to have those games anymore. If they're tied in the sixth inning, they got to find a way at home. They got to try and find a way to win that game.
Right. So that's the first thing. Second thing is about Yarbrough. So when he comes back,
yeah,
would you put him back in the rotation and then put Schlissel in the bullpen?
That's a good question. I don't know.
His composure on the mound. He seems like he can handle a high leverage situation.
Yeah, and they don't really. I mean, Hedrick has been good. Obviously, they have Hill. You wouldn't mind another lefty in the bullpen. You're going to add Cruz to the bullpen already. Schlittler throws 100 miles an hour and has pitched really well. It's going to be a tough decision on what they do. Yarbrough was pitching excellent. I mean, outside of he had one really atrocious start, but he was really good for them. He won that Dodgers game. He shut down the Dodgers. He's been really good. You got the four locked in. You're not going to take Will Warren out. You're going to let Luis Hill pitch. So it's when he comes back, does Cam Schlittler go to the bullpen? Does Cam Schlittler get sent down? I can't imagine doing that. It's going to be a tough position, but he's been important to them. In the bullpen, he's your long man. He's another lefty out there. That's probably what they do. Vinny in Rockland County. What's up, Vinny?
Hi, great show.
Thank you, buddy.
I want to talk about Boone a little bit. It's his managerial philosophy that I have a problem with, because his individual moves are a byproduct of that philosophy. And case in point, I'll start with the pitching.
Okay.
And he's been like this for a number of years. Other than an ace on the staff, he doesn't let these guys get out of the fifth inning. He's always overusing his bullpen. Now, the game yet the other day, okay, Ryan was dealing, but you got to try to win that game.
What makes you think he didn't try to win the game?
Because he didn't bring in a high leverage. If he's going to make a change, bring in one of your high leverage guys.
Who's the high leverage guys? Go ahead. Give me the guy. Who do they have to bring in there?
I probably would have started with Leiter.
And so Leiter has been pitching. Leiter is better than De Los Santos. Do you want to see what their ERAs are?
Lately, he's been better.
Who?
You got to do a little better than what.
Who's been better lately?
Well, I think
De Los Santos has been better lately.
Well, the other guy that they just got in the trade, I forgot his name.
Doval?
Yeah.
He's blown two games in the last 2 weeks.
Well,
he blew the game on Saturday.
I just didn't get his, they didn't win.
So you don't like it. I get it, but I understand, look,
I can't win every game, I know, but his philosophy is always he did this to Clark Schmidt for a number of years, never even got him out of the fifth inning when he had the least little bit of trouble. He would yank him right away. Schlitter was up to 86 pitches, and he even said in the post game he thought about maybe him start the sixth and see what would happen. I mean, he was pitching a very good game,
but again, he's a young kid. He's facing Buxton to lead off that inning, and Buxton had a 10-pitch at bat and roped a double off him in his last plate appearance. What if that happens again? Now you bring in a reliever with a runner on second base, or maybe he gives up a home run to Buxton, who's seen him now twice, and the last time was 10 pitches and roped a double. I'd like to see these guys get your young pitches in
so they learn how to work at it.
Yeah, but we're not in that position right now. The Yankees aren't in the position of let Cam Schlittler learn. They got to win games. I think he made that decision for the precise reason to go win the game. He wasn't doing it to find out if De Los Santos is a high leverage reliever. He's been one of their best arms. In the midst of this stretch over the last 2 weeks, De Los Santos has been as good as anybody. That's just a fact. You can't tell me you'd rather see Leiter there. You just can't tell me that. You can't. You'd rather see Weaver or Bednar. That's it. You can't give me another reliever you'd rather see in that spot than De Los Santos other than Weaver and Bednar. That's it. That's it. And we're not in the business. Same thing. That's why Jason Dominguez is on the bench. It's no longer time to develop Jason Dominguez. It's time to win. And Jason Dominguez is not a player that's going to help them win right now. I think he needs to be on the bench. But now with the injury to Goldschmidt, we'll find out how they handle this. Because Rice should be the catcher because Wells sucks. But now they don't have a first baseman if Rice is the catcher. Unless they're going to move Bellinger to first, in which case they have to play Dominguez in left. And I don't think you can play Dominguez in left and Stanton in right. I don't think you can. Not in the same game. I don't think you can. So if Dominguez is playing left, Stanton can't be in right. You can't have an outfield with those two guys. You can't. So I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do. The bold move would be to bring up Spencer Jones. You bring up Spencer Jones, you know he's a far better defender than Jason Dominguez. You put Bellinger in at first base, and you give Spencer Jones a week to see what he is. See if he could stay hot, see if he could bring some home runs to the table. He's got speed. You know, that's what I would do. They're facing right-handed pitching. That's what I would do. I think that's a bold move that might shake up the team a little bit. Bring some youth, some exuberance, maybe shake things up a bit. But I don't think they'll do that. I think they're going to play Rice at first, and they're going to catch Wells. And they're going to keep, you know, Dominguez on the bench, and they're going to play Stanton until Judge is ready. That's what I think they're going to do. And I think Judge, hopefully, will be ready. They're talking about possibly in this series, but then definitely the next series, if that would be on the table. We'll see. But, again, Boone's full. I think, look at the success of the bullpen in the Boone era. Like, the bullpen has had good numbers. They've always been a top 2-3 bullpen in the American League. Like, I don't think there's an overarching, you know, philosophy that has cost them. And let's be honest, who burned out more pitchers than Joe Torre? You know, sit here in a straight face and say Boone always burns out the bullpen, and then, you know, say that's the reason they don't win when we go back to Joe Torre and he blew out every arm he's ever had outside of Mariano Rivera. Scott Proctor probably today can't comb his hair. I bet you Scott Proctor can't comb his hair. We know what he did with Paul Quantrill as well. Like, he blew out bullpens like a maniac. Joe Torre went to the same guys over and over again.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
But he won. That's the difference. That's the difference. Boone's cardinal sin is not his bullpen management. Boone's cardinal sin is not his post-game sound. Boone's cardinal sin isn't the punt lineups. Boone has one cardinal sin. One. He hasn't won a championship. That's it. He's been here since 18. It's the longest tenured Yankee manager to not win a championship. And until he does that, no one's going to think he's done anything good. And it's unfair. But this year, I can't tell you he's done a good job. He has not. And if they got swept by Texas, I thought there was a chance coming home for that Astros series, he might have got fired. I don't think they'll do it now. It's just too late into the season. I don't think so, but he better make the playoffs, because even I would. This team is good enough to make the playoffs. I've been, as much as I'm a Cashman defender, I've talked about it, the rosters over the last handful of years, all the failures, I put more on Brian Cashman than Aaron Boone over the last handful of years. Even if I think Cashman does a fairly good job, I would tell you the failures of this team lay more at the feet of Brian Cashman than Aaron Boone for a long time. That still might be the case this year, but I have to admit, I like this team. I don't know why. Maybe I'm crazy. I think they're a bunch of good players. I think Grisham's having a great year. I think Ben Rice is hitting the ball hard. I think Cody Bellinger's been great. I think Stanton has given them the best regular season. You know he was hurt for half of it, but this stretch of Stanton's the best Stanton we've seen in the regular season his entire 10 years in New York Yankee. I think they have good bullpen arms out. I think Brian Cashman did a good job at the trade deadline. I do. I think this team should be far better than it's been. I think this roster is dramatically underachieving, and that's when I look to the manager. Like, to me, we could talk about the June swoons in previous years. I don't know how you get hung up on it, though. Like, this is where I'll differ than a lot of Yankee fans. Who the hell cares about last year's June swoon when they won the division and went to the World Series? Who gives a damn? Like, who cares? Who cares about June swoons in seasons that they go on and win 99 games and win a division? I don't care. You win some, you lose some. There's ups, there's downs. This is bottoming out. They don't make the playoffs. Then we care about the June swoon because it cost them the playoffs. I don't care about last year's, you know, funk in the middle of the year. They won the division and went to the World Series. I don't care about the 22 June swoon. They won 99 games and won a division. So, like, to me, we could talk about Boone and his June swoons. I don't care. I care about the success of the team. And yes, they've lost in the playoffs, but when you win 99 games and win a division, when you win a division and get to the World Series, I'm not going to complain about how the 162 went. I'm not. Oh, they should have won 110 games in 2022 instead of 99? Cares. The problem is if they don't pull out of it. That's the problem. And right now the pullout game ain't that good. 226. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with your calls next on the Fan. It does go fast. We'll get to some football as well as I'm getting nervous about the Giants. I don't like being this optimistic about the New York Giants. I don't like it. And I don't like everyone loving Abdul Carter this much. It's starting to scare me. Starting to scare me. We talked about this on the morning show a little bit. That pass rush, the idea that they could have a dominant unit as a pass rush, like that kind of unit that can break games, like the Giants, if they have the kind of pass rush we hope they have, I mean, you're talking about winning games just on that alone. Like, you can win games just based on that alone. Sacks, forcing turnovers, like you could theoretically win games just based on that. Let alone what the offensive weapons can be. Now, hopefully, Malik Nabers can actually stay healthy. But we got the Giants-Jets preseason game, obviously coming up this weekend. Looking forward to that after the couple days of practice that were relatively uneventful. The defense was better than the offense, which is typical, especially from these two teams, where you're just constantly wondering where you're going to get offense from. But it'd be really nice to see if Abdul Carter can really be what they say he is. And I'm getting nervous that, I mean, I was watching Pat McAfee. Or a clip from Pat McAfee. And Peter Schrager was on. He could barely contain himself. Now, I know that's his, I don't want to say shtick. He's excitable. So when he talks about things he's passionate about or players that he thinks are really good, like he has that kind of vibe to him, Peter Schrager. But man, he could barely contain himself talking about Abdul Carter. Could barely contain himself. I'm like, oh man, this is going to start. It's going to start making me nervous. Is it possible that our football teams surprise us and our baseball teams kill us? Is it possible? There was a little bit of NFL talk there, so whenever we talk NFL on the Fan, it's presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's get back to the calls. Obviously, the Mets on another miserable loss. We haven't really talked about who's better or worse. We talked about who would be more embarrassed by missing the playoffs. And what fan base specifically? What fan base, what would be more embarrassing? The Mets to lose and miss the playoffs, or the Yankees to fall out of the playoffs and not get into the dance? And I gave you my answer. Give me yours at 888-808-1019. I think how the offseason went, the fact that they have a higher payroll, the fact that they got Juan Soto, the fact that every Met fan wholeheartedly believes that that changed the dynamic of this town, changed the dynamic of baseball in this city, and the idea that Juan Soto chose the Mets because they are better, because their future is brighter, because their farm system is better, because their owner is willing to spend more money, because their GM is the smartest man in baseball who built up the Milwaukee Brewers, who they continue to win after he set the foundation to that franchise. That's why Juan Soto chose the Mets, because it's greener pastures, because they are the better franchise. And if that ends with them blowing this division, blowing this season, and not making the playoffs at the hands of the pitching lab falling apart, as devastating it would be for the New York Yankees to miss the postseason, I have to admit, my initial thought is it would be worse for the Met fan. It'd be worse for the Met fan who thought for sure they had a winner on their hands. 888-808-1019, then we'll get to who's better or who's worse between these two miserable teams. Ira and Lynbrook. What's up, Ira?
Oh, hi, C-Mac.
Hi, Ira.
First time I'm talking to you. I spoke to Al Citron once. I listen to you all the time. You're terrific.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And tomorrow's vacation for you, right?
Not tomorrow. I will be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to be with you guys from 9 to 1 p.m., and then I go on vacation Sunday.
Right, but I just want to tell you, between you and Keith, I find you guys are unbelievable.
Well, thank you.
And I'm a big Yankee fan just like you. I go back to the Maris Mantle days.
Just like me? Is that what you said?
I know you don't go back that far.
I don't go back that far.
I mean, no, your father goes back that far, not you.
My father went back that far, yeah. His hero was Mickey Mantle.
I mean, if you were in my office room now, I'm looking at a picture of Yogi Berra that I have hung, Maris and Mantle.
In my living room, I have both Yogi Berra and Mickey Mantle hanging up as well.
I also have Mickey Mantle's 500th home run plaque.
That is so funny that you mentioned that. And you mentioned my father too. For Father's Day one year, I went to like the store down the street that sold things like that, and I got a plaque of Mickey Mantle. And it's a picture of him and swinging for the on the swing that was his 500th home run.
Right. Do you remember, was he lefty or righty? I'm looking at it right now.
I think it was lefty.
You're right, lefty.
So I think it was lefty. And it's against Minnesota, isn't it?
No.
No? Who was it against? It was against someone who they said, they told him the fastball
down
the middle.
Stu Miller.
Stu Miller. And so what team was that against? Who did Stu Miller?
Orioles.
Orioles. Orioles? Okay.
Yeah.
So I got the plaque and it, you know, brought it home, and I'll never forget, my dad looked at it and he goes, "Did you look at this before you bought it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I think so." And he showed it to me, and the plaque said, "Mickey Mantle, member of the 500 Cub, C-U-B. The plaque didn't have the L in club.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, how? I was like, no way. And yeah, it said Mickey Mantle, member of the 500 Cub.
By the way, compared to the guys nowadays, Mickey Mantle would be a shrimp compared to Judge. He only weighed 195 pounds.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, too. Like, and there's been a conversation, you know, that was made on John Boy Media and some other places about Stanton and whether he would be a Hall of Famer if he hits 500 home runs. I think he's 70 home runs away from hitting 500 home runs.
He might be.
I think if he hits 500, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's almost like having 300 wins years ago.
I think it's still going to be considered that iconic number, even though baseball's changed a little bit. I don't think Stanton has any implications of steroids next to his name, so I think he would get in if he hits 500
home
runs.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But what I was thinking is, like, because you talk about how, like they were smaller than players of today. I think Roger
Maris. I know. I mean,
but yet Mickey Mantle, and again, I'm not trying to poo-poo on the era, and I'm not trying to make it seem like it was lies or anything, but Stanton can't hit a ball any harder, and it goes 447 feet.
I agree. He's an animal.
But he hits the ball. You can't hit it any harder than Giancarlo Stanton hits it, and it went 447 feet. Am I really supposed to believe that Mickey Mantle hit one 536 feet, or that this one hit one like... I don't. It's hard to believe that when I watch Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton hit the ball as far as I think humanly possible, and it's like 450, 460 at the max, but Mickey Mantle hit one 540 feet? Like, I don't know. I hate to be a bringer of bad news, but I have a real tough time believing that.
Well, one thing I could tell you, I was watching the 1964 World Series,
yeah,
where they unfortunately lost to the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Mantle hit a shot off of Barney Schultz in extra innings in the upper deck in right field. Oh, my God.
No, listen, I know he hit bombs and he's a great home run hitter. I'm just curious about that. But here, what's your point today about the Yankees and Mets?
I agree with you. You're totally on with that. It would be more disappointing for the Mets. Definitely. It's not even close.
Yeah, you think
they don't make the postseason.
It'd be more embarrassing for the Mets?
Of course. I mean, it's not great for the Yankees, that's for sure. But everything you said, I would like rubber stamp it twice over. Okay?
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be more embarrassing for the Mets. I think it'd be more embarrassing for the Mets. And the Met fan in particular, they beat their chest about how much better this franchise is. And right now, I believe the records are almost identical. The Yankees are 64-57. The Mets are 64-57. They have the exact same record. Unbelievable.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Unbelievable, both these teams have completely folded. It's crazy. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
How you doing, C-Mac?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good show as yours. Listen, it's very, very funny. I'm like a couple of years younger than Mingo, right? Mm-hmm. So I was lucky enough to see Mantle and a Judge, so it was really funny. When I was a kid, I remember when I was watching TV, because you couldn't pause or anything like that, I didn't want to walk away from the TV and miss any at-bats for Mantle.
Right.
You know, so, and now I can do the same thing for Judge. So it's funny, the two iconic guys. But I got a story for you that's going to maybe nobody knows, and it's going to dispute what you said about this, about how far they hit a home run, because they didn't have a lot of, they didn't have a lot of things on tape then or on TV then. You know,
mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I went to the bleachers in Yankee Stadium. You know how much it cost to get in when I was a kid to get the bleachers?
$1.50.
75 cents.
And they were actually
bleachers. They were not seats. They were like the long bleachers, like you see
Yankee Stadium has bleachers.
Oh, it has it too. I don't know. I haven't been there for a while.
Yeah, they still have bleachers. Yes.
Okay, so I remember once I was there and Mantle was up, right?
Yeah.
And I was sitting over 427. I think that's where it was. The 427 or whatever number it was, but right before, it was to the left of the 467, because I believe center field was like 467. It was a ton away. The monument were there too.
We're in the field play. Yep, which is crazy.
Yeah, you could have a ball could actually go behind the monument.
Yeah. There's that famous video of I think it was Bobby Mercer running in between them, check down a ball.
So anyway, Mantle is up. He hits a homer. And I see it coming. I'm running up the bleachers to try to catch it because I wanted to grab it. I was a kid.
Right.
Hey, ball. I was pretty good. That was way over 500 feet because I'm running up the bleachers further in,
mm-hmm.
and the thing was blasted 100 feet at least over the fence. And I saw it, and I went to go catch it. So that it is true.
I guess. I'm just saying. I don't know how guys today aren't hitting the ball further than guys back then. I just don't know how. I guess the bats were heavier because the pitchers didn't throw as hard. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
Well, maybe he's just a special player.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not alone. Like, you hear all the idea of guys hit the ball further, you know, these mammoth home runs, right? Even, you know, Babe Ruth or...
Reggie Jackson in the All-Star game.
That was one that went pretty far. No, but like all these, you know, these historic figures that...
Well, Reggie Jackson in the All-Star game, you should be able to prove it because it was on TV then.
Yeah.
You could look at it and probably see and all that stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But these things with Mantle, you don't have them on tape. I witnessed that because I was there and I ran after the ball, you know. So I know for a fact, you know, at least that time.
Yeah, but so like, but apparently like Josh Gibson hit them 500-600 feet. Like there's all these, like, you know, old-time stuff. Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. But I hear you. I'm sure maybe he did, Mario. I'm sure it went 500-600 feet. We'll see. I don't know.
I was interested if he caught the ball.
Yeah, I don't think he did. I think he would have said he got it. But maybe. I wasn't that interested in it. I have to admit, though, I had a scary moment at the game the other night. We went to the Friday night game against the Astros, the one where they brought Devin Williams in the eighth inning of a tie game. It didn't go well. Who used my loofah? I don't know. One of those weird things I say. Anyway, before the game, we met up with my guy Mitch in Fort Lee. We met him at the Hard Rock, and then we went to his seats, which are right on the right field, like front row right field, for batting practice. Before we went to our seats, I wasn't sitting with Mitch. I was with my wife and the kids, and we had seats somewhere else. But we met up with Mitch, and then we went to his seats just for batting practice. And I had a scary moment. My son is there with his glove, and I forgot who hit it. It was someone on the Astros. We didn't see Yankees. It was a right-handed hitter who hit an opposite field long fly ball to right field. And I was kind of tracking it, and it was you know, off the end of, you know, it was fading towards us. It was like coming from center field and working its way back towards us. And we were right there, like right there on the fence. And my son was like a couple feet over from me, and I couldn't reach it. And he reached out and he missed it. And it went off the concrete wall. There's like the wall. It's like maybe a foot and a half of concrete between the padding wall and where the seats are. And he's leaning over it. You could lean over if you've seen watching the games, but he's leaning. And the ball, he misses the ball, and it hits the concrete and bounces up. And I mean, just missed my son's face. Like, just. Like, it bounced up and whizzed right by him. That, if that would have hit him in the mouth, we're talking bad news. Bad, bad news. Scared the hell out of me.
I mean, I guess the one thing that would have been, like, I guess a silver lining would have been is he doesn't have all his adult teeth yet, right?
That is true. He has some, but yeah, no. But we would have left the game and had to go to the hospital. Like,
that would have been, yeah.
It would have been.
In the Bronx.
But just, it would have been bad. He would have been hurt. It scared the hell out of me for a second. I was like, whew, man, we just dodged one. Because that thing landed, like, right next to him, and ba-boom! And it bounced off 100 miles an hour off that concrete wall back up into the stands. And, I mean, it just missed his face.
And you know whenever you're in one of those situations or you see one of those situations and you're sitting in the crowd,
yeah,
it's one of those where you go, oh, man, that kid just, oof.
Yeah,
oof.
I know. And it wasn't like if it was high enough and deep enough, I would have tried to really make sure, because I don't trust him trying to catch it. I would have made sure it didn't, like, hit him in the face if he got underneath it. But it was the ricochet. I knew it wasn't quite going to reach us. But it was the ricochet that was like, ba-boom, and whizzed right by his head. It was terrifying. It's the last thing I need. Last thing he needs. Victor in Manhattan. What's up, Victor?
Hey, Chris. What's up?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I don't know if 2004, were you working on Mike and the Mad Dog yet?
I wasn't even at
You were in college, right?
2004, yes, I was. Yes. But
so I know you remember they were in an uproar about A-Rod and, oh my God, the Yankees overpaid and they're not getting back what they should. He wound up hitting 36 homers, driving in 106. They said that was a terrible year. The Yankees will never get what they paid for. He wound up having MVP seasons in 05 and 07.
Yep.
I keep reminding the Met fans about this because a lot of them, let's say you were born in 2000, like you guys were talking about before.
Yeah.
How I'm 41. 2005 to me was the other day.
That was just scary.
That's 20 years ago.
That's exactly how I feel. I know.
So I'm my wife's 25. So I was talking to her.
Look at you.
And they're in their mid 20s.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea about 2004. Like,
yeah.
I was trying to explain to them 04, 05, 07, 09. They don't know anything about those years. And that was, to us, that was just the other day.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm trying to remind them, dude. Well, you have to wait this out. It's a 15-year contract.
Of course. If you listen to me talk about Juan Soto, if you listen to me talk about Juan Soto last night, or even the Yankee signing, like, I have no doubt that Juan Soto is going to be a great Met. I even said it last night. He is probably going into, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame because that's the kind of player he is, and he's going to the Hall of Fame in a Met jersey, like, and a Met hat. Like, I have no doubt. But that does, I completely agree with you. He's going to have great moments. He's going to have years where he's clutch as hell, and hopefully he wins championships.
Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on in this bet? I made a bet with my father-in-law.
Okay.
I told him Juan Soto is going to wind up with more homers as a Met than Pete Alonso. Soto's going to hit. Let's say Soto hits 450 homers. He's going to hit like 450 homers for the Met. Let's say 400.
I don't know.
In 15 years. That's 30 a year for 13 years, let's say, right? That's 390 homers.
Yeah.
Alonso's gone. They're not signing Alonso.
Are you sure about that?
Let's say Alonso hits for four more years, let's say, right?
Yeah.
That's 120 homers. Let's say 30 a year. Let's say 40 a year. Let's give him 40. 160. Let's say he gets to 410.
Yeah.
Soto's going to hit over 410 in 15
I don't know.
Years, bro?
I don't think
30
so.
30 a year.
I don't think so. You got to assume he stays healthy every single year.
Remember,
you got to assume the power's there. Like, I don't know. It's a tough one. I'm not saying it's a bad bet. It's a close bet. But before we get to the Pete Alonso, because you just said something interesting. There's no doubt in my mind Juan Soto is going to be a great Met. I said it yesterday morning. This might be the worst year of Pete Alonso. This might be the worst year of Juan Soto's career as a Met, for all we know. But that doesn't change. Like, he's going to be great, but that doesn't change what he's doing this year. Like, he's got to be better this year. You can say till you're blue in the face that the next 14 years are going to be great, and I'm not going to argue with you. I'm really not. I agree. Juan Soto's a great player, and he's going to have a great year one of these years. He's going to be a clutch player. He's going to have big moments, but it's not right now. Both can be true. And I wouldn't even say, I heard Keith say the Yankees dodged a bullet. I wouldn't agree with that. I really wouldn't. I'd still wish I would have hoped. I still would, if I can go back in time and convince Juan Soto to sign with the New York Yankees, I absolutely would. Would it have hurt the Yankees this year? At this point, I don't know. I felt pretty strongly about that a month ago, that it would have. That the Yankees would have been better off this year without Juan Soto than with him. This one year. I don't know about the next 10 or 15. Juan Soto's a great player. You got money coming off the books. Who knows what the economics of baseball are in 2 years? I want Juan Soto on my team. And if Judge eventually is going to age out of being a superstar, then I lean right into Juan Soto being the face of the franchise. Like, I still would have wanted that as a Yankee fan. But none of that changes the fact that this dude just hasn't been clutch for the New York Mets this year. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. The guy has just, this series is a great example of Juan Soto this year. If you look at his series, he got 3 hits and 3 walks. He's on base 6 out of 14 times. He hits a home run, drives in a couple, scores a couple. Like, he had a good series. But there were 2 key at-bats that they needed him to come through. And in both, he struck out. That's the bottom line. There were 2 key at-bats that they needed Juan Soto to come through. I think it was the 5th inning of the game the other night when they're down 9-6. He's got 2 runners on and 2 outs. They need him to come through right there. He doesn't. The next inning, Ozuna hits a home run to make it 5. Good night the lights, to quote Mike Francesa. That's it. Last night, They blow the lead in the eighth. Helsley gives it up. In the bottom of the eighth, you got Francisco Lindor gets on. You need him to come through, and he strikes out on three pitches. That is what Juan Soto has been for this Met team. A very good player. Someone who sets up innings. Someone who gets on base. One of their best, if not the best, their best player this year. But in the biggest of moments, he ain't doing it. Pete Alonso has. Last night's a good example as well as Pete. Like, Pete's been struggling. I know he had a big night the other night on his record-breaking night. But, like, over the last month, who's been a better player? It's not even close. Juan Soto's been far better. But who's been more impactful? Even last night, who gets the big hit that gives them the lead? Pete Alonso. Now, Juan Soto got on base. Juan Soto stole second base. Juan Soto scored the run. All great. In the eighth inning, they needed him. He struck out on three pitches. The other night, down three, two runners on, swings at a pitch at his eyes. It's unlike Juan Soto. And yet, that's what he's been all season long for the Mets. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come back and take your calls all the way to 5 o'clock right here on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.